lovely track. This is me, Dave Roberts, on the wonderful, the amazing, the mighty, the magnificent 107 Meridian FM. Tons of music to come up, but in the first hour, diverting a little bit away from the musical side of things. I've got a lovely lady sitting opposite me. Her name is Olivia Da Silva, and I think she would describe herself as a life coach. And she's just written this book called Your Whole Life Economy, Recognize Your True Value and Improve Your Quality of Life. Olivia, welcome to Meridian.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me on.
A life coach. Is it the same as a football coach, as a tennis coach, etc.?
Well, the concept of life coaching came from the sports, type of performance type coaching that you'd see in, with athletics, and it's a similar type of concept. But we work with people on your life, so helping you to improve your quality of life as a whole, rather than just a physical level.
Right, so you basically what you do is you're sort of doing everything between the ears, as it were. You don't tell people to you know you need to lose some weight or go and play rugby or something. You know, you don't do anything like that. Everything is what they do upstairs, as it were.
Yeah, it is generally working on people's, helping people to work with their mindset. And we don't, as life coaches, we don't give advice. We don't tell people what to do. We help people to come to their own solutions. That's quite an important aspect of coaching, yeah, that people don't understand quite often. They think it is, they're going to go along and be told what to do and beaten into submission, and it's not like that at all.
So yeah. is there a typical person that comes to see either you or any life coach?
No, not really. So anybody would come to coaching, anybody who feels that they want to get more out of life. Coaching would be a good thing for
them. So you could literally have, you know, you'd have this kind of image in your head of somebody who needs to get on in life would be somebody who, say, I don't know, they just failed all their exams, or they're in a very poorly paid job, etc., etc., and they want to get on or higher up the scale, as it were, under the ladder in life. But it could be someone like that, but also it could be quite easily somebody, say, like a doctor who you think is very successful, or a politician or whatever, or yeah, it could be anyone.
Yeah, it could be anybody. Anybody can get benefit from coaching. I believe that everybody should have a coach, really.
So what drew you into becoming a life coach in the first place?
Yeah, I've had a lot of coaching myself, and I've really benefited from working with a life coach. I first worked with a coach when I was in my early 30s, and I had been working at the same company for 9 years, and I'd done quite well there. And
can I ask you what sort of work it was?
I was doing like customer account management type work.
Okay. So would you have called that, was it quite stressful and pressured?
It could be at times. Yeah, it depends what was going on. I was working with the Environment Agency, was one of my clients. So we used to bid for work. We used to have to write tenders and bid for work. So it could be quite stressful when you're in that and you're trying to, you know, you're competing against other companies who are trying to get the same work. So yeah, you'd have to kind of be on your ball and know what you were doing. And the customer relationship side is really important with that. So I'd been working with them for 9 years, and I had an idea that I could probably maybe earn more money and get better opportunities, probably doing something similar but in a different industry. The industry I was working in was quite limited at that time. And so I was fortunate to work with a coach at that time. I met a woman who was a life coach, and she offered to work with me. And I didn't know what was going in for, but I...
Had you ever heard of a life coach before that?
I hadn't at all. No, I'd heard of counsellors. I knew about counsellors and therapists and that kind of stuff.
But you just probably, like most people, just assume they were for people who were, you know, really at the depths of despair, or they're just going through, I don't know, a divorce or a bereavement or something
like
generally
that. Generally, people tend to go to counselling when they're more in crisis.
Yeah.
So that's kind of quite an important distinction between coaching and counselling. But so coaching is about trying to get the most out of life. There's so many different life coaches out there, and everybody would probably have a slightly different description of what they do, but so it's quite a wide arena. But so I worked with the coach at that time, and we worked for 3 months together. I set a goal. I achieved that goal. I got more than I achieved because I ended up studying as part of this process. And I was just so impressed with the results of it. I thought it was fantastic. And I worked with her on another few occasions over the years. And I really, I have a great life. I've had a, developed a fantastic life, and I attribute that to the coaching I've done and the people I've worked
so
with.
So did you think pre-coaching you didn't have a good life?
I wasn't making the most out of life. Certainly wasn't making the most out of life. I know I'm at a stage now where I believe I'm making the most out of my life and making the most of my opportunities.
Can you coach yourself?
I mean, I develop a mindset, and I work with two coaches now myself, actually. I have a life coach and a business coach, and I use them for different aspects of things. But and I develop strategies as part of the coaching that I can apply to my own life to help me through situations that I come across. So I develop strategies, but really coaching is about, it is that collaborative process, and it is about the conversation. And how much more I can magnify my life through having this conversation with another person and getting their reflection and their feedback on my situation and them helping me to explore what's going on from different aspects. So I get a much wider perspective. So sitting there thinking about something, my thinking can become very limited, but when I sit and talk about it, it just opens up a whole world of possibilities. Mm. And working with somebody who's trained in how to listen to you and how to help you develop is...
If I came to you for the very first time, what would your be, you know, if I'd obviously tell you the kind of work that I'm doing. I'm sitting on, you know, I do a radio show. I'd come to you, I do this radio show, but I want more out of life. Mm-hmm. What would be your initial approach? What would be your... Do you have like a set pattern of working?
Well, I don't really have a set pattern of working, but there are some principles that are really important to work with. And the first part of that is developing a contract around the relationship. And I don't mean a written, signed bit of paper. I mean a psychological contract where we set some ground rules for working together. So it's really one really important aspect of coaching is it's a collaborative process. There's no hierarchy in that in this relationship. So it's like both persons, we work on an equal level. So it would be really important to, within that contract, to find out what it is you want to achieve. So you say, yeah, I want to improve my quality of life. But what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean to you? And why is that important? So we get down to the nitty-gritty of we'd explore around that. And we would set an agenda for the coaching, if you like. So this is what I want to get out of it. So we'd start off on that. And sometimes that can change as you go along through the relationship because, as I said, you know, it opens up possibilities that you can often not know is available. So that's a really important principle to get that in place. I generally start on a coaching relationship. I like to really work on the relationship and developing that trust. And I like to, at the start of a relationship, give the client a lot of space to talk and be heard that you probably wouldn't get in day-to-day life, because I don't know if you're home or you're talking to friends or whatever. They interrupt you, they're coming through with advice, and I think you should do this.
You're a good listener.
I'm a very good listener. I'm a great listener. Ask my husband.
is there an average amount of time that you would need with a person to show any kind of results?
So I, when I start working with a client, we contract for 3 sessions. So that's we start off with an hour and a half.
That's actually a lot quicker than I thought.
Well, it depends. See, it depends. So there's ways of doing this. So I say to a client, we contract for 3 sessions and we try to create as much value as possible out of those 3 sessions. And sometimes clients can have a great turnaround in those 3 sessions and challenge limiting beliefs that they're holding with them themselves so they can get on and really develop something out of that. I love working with clients on a long-term basis. So we set for the 3 sessions and then, you know, we might...
Would that be 1 a week or 1 a month?
It depends. It can be one every 2 weeks, sometimes once a week. Depends. It really depends on the client and what's going on. See, there's no really one set agenda for the kind of the structure. But I always say to clients that, you know, some people say, can I come for 1 session? I say, well, you'll get more value out of 3 sessions than you will of 1. I know that we can create something out of 3 sessions. And then following on from those 3 sessions, sometimes we'll go on to a longer term relationship. I've worked with clients for up to 9 months before. So I've seen them a couple of times a month. And, you know, and yeah, we'll get to a point, so we may recontract along the way, and okay, this is what I want to achieve now, and you know, sometimes the relationship will come to a natural end, and I've worked with clients for a period of time and then work with them again afterwards because they can see the benefit from it. So it's very flexible, and I like to be flexible in my approach. That's important for me. Yeah.
Amazing. Sounds good fun, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm talking to Olivia Da Silva, and Olivia is a life coach, as you may have gathered. And she's just written this book called Your Whole Life Economy. The book, Olivia, how, I mean, if somebody reads this book, do they need to come and see you?
Do they need to come and see me? Well, maybe not. So,
could they spend like the $7.99 or whatever it is this costs, and rather than coming to see you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That, well, it's the book is really the, I hope from the book to be able to connect with people through it. So they may not need to come and see me for sessions, but they can connect with me on social media and through Facebook groups. And I'm hoping to, well, I am developing a community around the ideas, where we can, so the book is written from my own personal perspective. It's full of my own ideas around this concept and how I've developed this concept, my experience around that and what it means to me. But the idea is that when somebody reads it, is that they will translate that to their own concept and what it means to them. And the book is filled with questions all along the way. What does this mean to you? And behind the book, I'm developing on my website, there's going to be a workbook to download, which isn't available yet, but there is available on my website, a 7-day coaching inquiry. So people, in fact, I've set up a page on my website. People can go on there. It's oliviadasilva.com. That's Olivia, DSILVA.com. Everybody spells my surname wrong. And that's /Meridian. And there is a page on there where people, if anybody's interested in hearing more about it, obviously I'm going to talk more about it in a minute, that they can go on there, can download the introductory chapter, and they can sign up to a free 7-day email coaching inquiry, which will be a reflection every day and a question, so people can really think about what that means to them. So that's the idea behind the book, is that people do translate it to what it means to them. Yeah. Mm. So the book is Your Whole Life Economy is a concept that I've created. It's around 7 personal resources that we all have as human beings that we're probably taking for granted. So the 7 resources are: the first one is time, the second is attention, the third is our physicality, the fourth is money, the fifth is wisdom, the sixth is compassion, and the seventh is joy. So we each of us as human beings have these set of resources, and these are things that we have to offer the world. But as I said, we're probably taking them for granted. We're probably not recognising the value in them. So using the economy, the economic principle that when resources are scarce, we value them more. So if we were to hear on the news tomorrow that there was going to be a fuel strike, we would all be rushing down to fill our cars up. That resource, is when it becomes scarce, it becomes more valuable. We all want it more. We're willing to pay more for it. So it's that same kind of principle that we apply to these resources that we're probably taking for granted in our lives. So the book is around recognizing how precious each of these resources are in our lives.
Even if in essence they are in abundance, you still should recognize or feel that everything has a real worth and a real value, yeah, regardless.
Absolutely. Yeah. So are they in abundance? That's the thing. I think if we take it for granted, if we think, is time in abundance?
Because they always say youth is wasted on the young,
absolutely,
don't they?
So. Of course it is. Well, we know that, don't we? So, yeah, I start off with time. I say time is our most precious resource. It's tangible, measurable, non-renewable. So once this moment is gone, it's gone. Nothing's going to bring it back. And so, you know, but how often do we live our lives in that way? How often do we go through the day and think, right, this is the once this day is gone, it's gone? So it's learning to think about that concept in
does,
that way.
Does this have any kind of, I don't know, do you do things like, I don't know, do you encourage things like, I don't know, meditation or anything like that? Or do you go down like a Buddhist route of, the earth and the animals and the sky and the rain and all that kind of stuff?
So it's interesting that you should say that actually, because a lot of those concepts are all intertwined throughout the book. And it is, I would say that the book is spiritual principles. But when I talk about spiritual principles, I don't mean in the sense of religion or God or anything like that. What I mean, spiritual principles, is it's a greater connection with your own spirit or your sense of who you are as a human being, mm-hmm. and recognizing that, you know, the responsibility that we have and the power we have as humans. So it's recognizing that we have that power within us. So it's rather than a kind of a universal element or a higher power or anything like that, we have this power within us. So the meditation, you asked about meditation. So our second precious resource, I say, is attention. And I don't know if you're familiar with the term, the attentional economy. It is the principle that in the online world, or the world that we live in, is that our attention is really valuable. So marketers are out there to grab our attention at every turn, and they do this often through very negative messages and very, you know, disturbing things to grab our attention and to try and get us to spend our money with them, you know. So if they're seeing our attention as valuable, do we value our attention? How much do we value our attention? And often, I mean, I know I'm the biggest probably victim of getting caught up in social media black hole and getting on there and, oh, who's going on and who's paid me some attention here, you know. And it's like, is that the best use of my attention today? So actually, I do meditate, and I'm a big fan of meditation. And recently, as part of my coaching practice, I've started to study the principles of neuroscience for coaches. And really recognizing the benefits of the studies I see out there, the benefits of meditation on the brain and how it improves our cognitive abilities. And there's so many benefits for meditation. And that is a way of valuing our resource of attention.
Is meditation meditation, or are there types of meditation?
Well, I'm not an expert on meditation. In fact, I'm not an expert on any of these principles. So, right. But I can tell you that I do meditate, and there's lots of different methods for meditation.
Do you do yoga or anything?
Yes.
Like
yes. Yeah, I'll talk about yoga in there as well. It all comes in. And but meditation is, so for me, meditation is simply just centering and listening to my breath. I've tried to do guided meditations, but I actually find it quite distracting. Mm-hmm. Someone talking to me and think about this and think about that, and I think, I don't know, I find that more distracting. So I actually focus on my breath and centre myself, and then when I find my mind wandering, bring my back to my breath, which is a principle of mindfulness meditation.
Do you ever find yourself going off the rails, as it were, and then thinking to yourself, I need to give myself a coaching session just to bring myself back to my level, if you like?
Oh, I see my life coach once a month, and often that can be quite an interesting session. I mean, I'm a human being, just like anybody else.
I mean, are you a, you know, forgive the stereotypical thing, but are you a, I don't know, do you see a pair of shoes in the window and think, I'm having them, and then bring them home and think, what on earth did I buy those for? That was a real slip. Because they have, I've just spent 80 quid on a pair of shoes that I just plainly didn't need.
So generally, that's not me. That's not the sort of person. That's not the sort of thing that I do.
So you don't slip that far. But okay, whatever
you're... I was
only using that as an example. Perhaps a poor example. What I mean is there must be something that is your weak spot. Do you find yourself going down that road?
So yeah, things throw me off balance, and the things that throw me off balance is when I see people I care about struggling.
Right.
I have family difficulties. I have challenging situations in my family at the moment, and seeing people that I care about struggling and not being able to help them as I would, and it's that kind of thing that throws me off balance and makes me feel.
Yeah.
I'm a human being, so I respond to that in a very human way.
Yeah.
But I like to, you know, for me, my coaching, I had a coaching session fairly recently where I brought these kind of these things along, and how to cope with that, and how to maintain a relationship with people who are in a challenging place, and keep loving them.
Do you get cornered in sort of front rooms at parties where people are saying, I wish I could do this and I wish I could do that, and before you know it, you haven't moved for about 45 minutes trying to turn them around?
Well, I love talking to them. I'm not a great party goer. I always feel like I want to get there on those T-shirts that says I hate parties. Yeah. I'm not really a party goer, but I do love connecting with people. Yeah. I do love connecting with people. So if I connect with somebody when I'm out, I'll have an endless conversation.
I think I'm much the same, actually. I don't think I'd do this if I didn't like being with people and meeting people who do all sorts of different things, because it's a wonderful thing. Where did all this life coaching thing, where did it originate from? I don't mean for you, I mean in the whole scheme of life coaching. Any ideas?
Yeah, well, really it came from the concept of athletics and performance coaching.
Oh, so it was all from that, and it's just developed directly from that then?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a great, expert on the history of coaching, but I understand, and it makes sense. You know, you're working with somebody to improve themselves in a certain way, and it's bringing that into a life concept.
Do you get, do you ever get people that, you know, you've been, I don't know, how long have you actually been a life coach?
So I only qualified a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and I studied, it took me a year to gain that qualification, so I've been practicing, you know, for a couple of years, and part of that as a student. The reason I got into it is because I've had a lot of coaching myself, as I mentioned earlier, since my 30s. So I've been, you know, been coached a lot. And so I passionately believe in the power of coaching. And when it came time for me a couple of years ago, I thought, what do I want to do with my life now? And I was in that, I had an opportunity to do something different. I was looking around for the next thing to do. And I thought, I might train as a life coach. And I thought, why didn't I think of that before? Because it just seems so obvious that was my next step. And then I trained with a fantastic organisation. I'm going to give them a shout out, called the Animas Centre for Coaching in London. And if anybody out there is listening who wants to become a life coach, lots of people come to me who want to be coaches and say, "Who did you train with?" And I love the organisation I train with. I think they're brilliant. They gave me some wonderful skills. The training they do is a really good depth, and it's really structured, and it's accredited by a professional body, which is also important. And you become part of a community when you're there as well. So,
as the person who comes to you, do they need a degree of, how do I put this? I suppose intelligence to understand what you're doing, what you're saying. Or is it just, do you give them homework, that kind of thing? I mean, I kind of wonder about a lot, not just coaching, but anything like this, where this, a lot of it is quite, it's almost got this highbrow sort of feel to it. So if you went there, and you are a relatively intelligent person, you would take it all in very easily. But other people might struggle to understand what it is that either you're telling them or they're supposed to be absorbing.
Absolutely. It's not about intelligence at all. No. Really, really.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear. Because I might come along.
Oh, please do, yeah. So it's more about willingness to want to see things differently and to want to develop and change, really. Intelligence is not important at all. I mean, so I work with people about what they bring to me, and you mentioned homework there. I mean, I do sometimes with clients and say, well, do you want to go away and work on that? And they do go away and work on it, and sometimes they come to the next session and say, oh, I didn't do that. I say, okay, so that wasn't the right exercise for you, and that's fine. You know, there's no kind of accountability in that sense. If somebody doesn't want to do something, you can't, you know, that would be completely counterproductive to me to say, well, why haven't you done your homework? it's not what it's about at all.
Yeah. I mean, have there been any cases where you've just thought, I've tried and tried, but I'm just not getting anywhere. You're not taking anything in, or you're not adjusting?
So the important thing that I've discovered about coaching is it does work on that relational level, and there's certain people that I have that have better impact than others. And sometimes people come into coaching, and it's really important to find the right coach. There's loads of coaches out there, so people who would resonate with me, you know, may not with somebody else, or they may, you know, find the right coach, because it is about that relationship. It's about trust. It's about building up trust in that relationship. You have to be able to feel completely comfortable. And, there's lots of different coaches out there. So, yeah, it's finding the right coach is really important.
It sounds fascinating, doesn't it, really? I mean, it does to me. I mean, do you see yourself doing this for a long time now?
I'm really passionate. So I'm just in my second year now of practice, really, since I qualified, and I am finding my feet with it. So the book was written as a result of my first year and working with my business coach and thinking about, well, what is it that I've got to give to the world? What is the contribution that I can make that, that can make a difference in the world? And, you know, all my ideas are contained within that book. So the idea is that that book will help me to connect with people, and it is doing already. I mean, it's got us here and I'm sitting talking to you about it. It's helping me to connect with people, which is beautiful. That's exactly what it's about. So I've said I want to develop, I'm developing a community around that. My coaching one-to-one, I can't remember the question you asked me actually, Dave, but do I see him doing this for a long time? Yeah, so I'm passionate about learning. I love learning. And that's what really, really gets me on fire, is just learning new things. So I'm studying neuroscience, as I said, at the moment. I'm studying creativity. I'm going to a couple of talks soon around these concepts, and I'm looking at bringing that into my coaching. I'm at the moment really passionate about studying self-doubt as well. That's an area that I find really interesting.
I think everybody has that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's useful.
Oh, you do? Okay, that's great. Yeah,
I think it's useful. I think we can use self-doubt. So I know, because I've suffered a lot of self-doubt over the years, and I've done a lot to try and get rid of self-doubt, like affirmations and all that kind of stuff, and it's never gone anywhere. It's always been there. It's always stayed with me. So I've just thought, oh, God. Well, if I can accept it and see it for what it is and use it. So self-doubt for me is a great motivator. So if I doubt I'm going to do something, it's going to make me work to do something. Self-doubt is also an indicator that I'm learning, that I'm in a new area. So my theory is, it's not the presence of self-doubt that is the problem. The presence of self-doubt is actually a positive thing. It's our response to self-doubt.
So you're basically saying that if you're a totally confident person who feels completely comfortable with absolutely everything, then chances are you're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in your life. There's no what ifs and buts.
Where's the room for growth in that? And also, my argument of this as well is that, you know, what has brought to us about certainty and confidence in the world? I mean, looking at the economic principle that you know, the global economy likes nothing less than uncertainty. It goes into turmoil. But, you know, we see a lot of certainty in leadership. And people who are very confident, very certain about what they're doing. But then, you know, look at the shape of the world. Look at what this kind of influence has brought to us, seeking for certainty. So I think there's room for self-doubt, because I think self-doubt keeps us growing, it keeps us asking questions, it keeps us collaborating with people. And, I just think there's a lot of room for self-doubt. I think it's a great quality. So I'm studying this at the moment, and I'm developing theories. I'm developing an offering around this. Yeah, so... Yeah.
Oh, well, brilliant. Well, it does sound fascinating, I must admit. It really does. This book of yours, I mean, I get it's actually out now, is it?
It is, yeah. It's available on Amazon and for £8.50. Okay. And you can go and find it on there. And I'm actually, on the 28th of April, I'm having a launch at the bookshop in East Grinstead.
The lovely bookshop up the top.
Fantastic, yes. Local bookshop
in
with John
Pye. In the old Tudor High Street.
Yeah,
it's
that's
lovely.
Right.
Up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
that,
gorgeous.
Wonderful historic bookshop with the fabulous John Pye, who's a great character. If anybody's met him, he's great. So yeah, we're having a book launch there.
What time is that?
That's 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock.
Okay. And obviously you'll be there and signing copies, etc.
I'll be there. I'm going to give a talk on the concept of how to increase the value of your time, and also how to increase the value of your money in your life.
Yeah, I like the sound of that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know everybody likes the sound of that, so hopefully that'll bring a crowd. But
the 23rd, did you say?
28th of April.
Oh, big problem,
yeah.
28th.
And there's details about it on my website, which is oliviadesilva.com.
Okay, sounds fantastic. What day is the 28th?
That's a Saturday.
Oh, good. Good. Okay.
You're going to come?
I might actually get up there. You never know. I might do, actually. If it's Saturday. Saturdays are good for me. Saturdays are good for me. I've got a bit of time on a Saturday. Yeah. Olivia, it's been absolutely... Give your name, your website address again.
So it's oliviadesilva.com, and that De Silva is spelled DSILVA.com.
Okay, right.
And everything you need on there, links to my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And as I said, if you go to oliviadesilva.com/meridian, there's a special thing on there for any listeners who are tuning in and perhaps want to know more. You can download the introductory chapter, and you can sign up for the 7-day coaching inquiry, which will give you some more details about what this whole concept is about, and encourage you to look at how this is operating in your life and how it can operate in your life.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Brilliant. Well, Olivia, it's been lovely to meet you. It's been lovely to hear what you have to say. I look forward to reading this book because, as the listeners probably have guessed, I haven't had time to read it because, well, you only actually brought it in tonight, so obviously I haven't had time to read it. But I do look forward to reading it and, many successes with it.
Thank you for having me on, Dave. It's been lovely to meet you.
Brilliant. You. Olivia DeSalvo there and a book, Your Whole Life Economy, Recognise True Value and Improve Your Quality of Life.